So for this learning objective, let's evaluate recent clinical trial data regarding the impact of long-term treatment on improving pain and quality of life. It occurs to me, Jennifer, that we usually speak of three main domains of efficacy: improvement in signs and symptoms, mm-hmm. inhibition of structural progression, which we're not going to spend any time on, and improvement in patient-reported outcomes. So tell us a little bit about how you use patient-reported outcomes in your assessment of your patients and also in your assessment of the therapies that you're giving them.
So I think this is actually a really tricky question. So when we are assessing the patient in terms of patient-reported outcomes, a lot of that has to do with pain as well as quality of life scores. So some of that is difficult in that patient-reported outcomes are colored by other things. Do they also have arthritis? Do they also have fibromyalgia? Do they also have other things that can contribute to their pain that isn't necessarily just the psoriatic arthritis? I think that's really important to point to make. But in terms of treating to target, those are things that we try to measure when we try meeting with the patients at whatever interval we do. So how are their signs and symptoms? Have their joints improved in terms of swelling? Are they able to do what they need to do in terms of taking care of their family, in terms of getting to work and working as a productive member of society? I think those are all really important points to make and monitor.
So, Joel, Jennifer just used the term treat to target. That's coin of our realm and mm-hmm. shorthand for us. What does it mean to you as a dermatologist? What targets are you using in your assessment or treatment of patients with psoriasis?
Yeah, so this is an evolving landscape in our field. National Psoriasis Foundation has issued a consensus statement about targets of people with psoriasis. I was a member of the author group for that. And, you know, first of all, we feel like if you don't have a target and you're not measuring anything, you have no way of knowing how you're doing and no way of improving on your care over time. So that's one of the reasons to think about doing this type of work. When you talk to patients, the target they want from a skin perspective is they want the skin to be clear. That's the target they're trying to hit. And so I think that's increasingly where dermatologists are striving for, recognizing that if we get close but not completely there, that's often going to be acceptable enough for the patient because, you know, we don't want to be switching therapies too willy-nilly, if you will. We only have so many options available to us. And so if a patient's gotten almost clear and they're satisfied with that response, usually we will stay there. Whereas a patient's almost clear but they still have a lot of disability, maybe it's still involving their palms or visible psoriasis, then that might be a reason to think about changing treatment.
So what about softer targets, Jen? What about things like work productivity? Is that something our patients are more concerned about than we are? What about presenteeism, absenteeism? How do you evaluate that with your patients?
That's actually really difficult, I think. In terms of work productivity or in terms of measures for absenteeism, I think that's difficult to assess. I think community rheumatologists really look at a more global picture. You know, are you able to get to work? You are able to do now before your diagnosis. I think those are kind of measures that we questions that we ask our patients.
I think this is something where clinical trials really shed a lot of light on these issues, especially in dermatology. People don't really thought of psoriasis as being disabling, if you will, people having impairments at work. And until we started having these surveys being part of our trials, we didn't realize that a lot of patients are missing work hours because of dealing with their skin disease or they're at work and they're having a hard time functioning. So that's the presenteeism that you bring up. The other thing we've learned a lot from the quality of life studies being done in psoriasis is that a lot of our trials are done recommended by the FDA is treat the patient and then withdraw treatment to see what happens. Because we want to understand is there going to be a rebound flare or will the drug work when you reintroduce it. And what we've learned from that is that that there's more burden placed upon a patient for their disease worsening than it is from where they started. So trying to put this in numbers, if someone starts with, say, 10% of their body surface area, their quality of life may have, say, moderate impairment with that. And then when you clear them, they have no impairment in quality of life. But then when they get worse and they go back to 10% body surface area, their quality of life may now be severely impaired, that they overshoot where they were before they started. I think clinicians need to be mindful of this information, that our goal is to try and get people clear and maintain remission in their disease, and losing response or interrupting therapy, for example, and having disease come roaring back could often be more burdensome for our patients.
Yeah, and Jennifer, do we have any data, any hard data from any of the clinical trials about the effect of the agents on things like pain and fatigue?
There are. So they are for almost all of our agents. They have a measurable measure is the visual, pain scale. Mm-hmm. And almost all of our agents do show decreases in pains across the board.
Yeah, it occurs to me that our patients don't come in looking to be 20% better, 50% better, or reducing their sharp scores. What they want is to feel better.
Yes.
and have relief of pain and fatigue, and that's what we perhaps should be focusing on. We've heard the term in the literature and in many of our discussions, a digital health tool. What does that mean to you, Jennifer?
So digital health tools are tools that I think are available either via the internet or via different sites or via different applications that help both the clinician and the patient in multiple ways. So for the clinician, it could be different guidelines or pocket tools that they could use while they're seeing their patients to help guide care. For the patients, it could be multifactorial. It could be to monitor their disease themselves or monitor their symptoms on a specific app. Or going to a website from the National Psoriasis Foundation having somebody advocate for them in terms of medication coverage or assistance in affording their medications. Or it could be different applications in terms of increasing their exercise, different mindfulness tools in terms of anxiety and depression, or even goals for a healthier lifestyle like activity trackers.
There's some apps that help remind you when to take your medication. Those are
yes.
particularly helpful, especially for injectable biologics that you're taking intermittently, every 2 weeks, every 4 weeks, every 8 to 12
right.
weeks. Very difficult for patients to track that, as opposed to a pill they may be taking twice a day.
Yeah, I think that there's no question that the availability and accessibility of things that patients can do themselves are only going to assist us in reaching the optimal outcomes that we're aiming for. There's just so much we can do without the patient's active buy-in. Well, thank you.